Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Going to chat some more NCAA Tournament March Madness with Brian Hamilton. You can find his work at The Athletic. Also, he's on the Big Ten Network. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Hello, Brian. Thanks for a few minutes. How are you?
Hey, Brian.
I'm doing well. It's the best time of the year, guys.
Oh, so, without a doubt.
Doing great.
Yeah, without a doubt, man. It is. And these games come quickly. And, you know, notwithstanding the games tonight, are there any of these games you look at, and maybe you look at the betting line and say, man, that game is too good to be true to happen? Like Kansas, a 7-point favorite against Northeastern. I'm like, how's Kansas only a 7-point favorite against Northeastern? But I know, you know, this is not your typical Kansas team with all the injuries and all that, but is there anything that stands out to you like that?
Yeah, I'm not a big guy to look at the betting lines, but, you know, for one thing, Northeastern is actually pretty good. Mm-hmm. they have a top 50 offense. I think they have a real shot at least keeping it close. You know, a couple games sort of down the seed line that really caught my eye. LSU-Yale is an interesting matchup to me because I wonder if LSU's coaching staff down Will Wade is going to be able to convince their players that not only is Yale good, really good, with NBA players on that roster, but they don't play like a normal, I guess, cliche, stereotypical Ivy League team plays. This isn't Pete Carril, Princeton, backdoor cutting you to death. I mean, they play with pace. They have a pretty, really efficient offense. They're obviously not going to have athletes, players like Nasri, Tremont Waters, but they are good players. And there are some guys, there are some pros on that Yale roster. So, you know, how LSU prepares going into that, obviously the Murray State Marquette matchup is interesting because of Marcus Howard's health with the wrist and John Morant being a future NBA lottery pick. So those are the ones that kind of jump out at me. And then, of course, the Louisville, Minnesota, Little Patino versus Big Patino's old employer game is always a lot of drama there.
Talking with Brian Hamilton, some NCAA preview. You can find his work on The Athletic, and he's on the Big Ten Network. You mentioned Marquette, obviously a team that, you know, we are fond of, Wisconsin as well. When I fill out my brackets, Brian, first thing I'm doing is I'm taking Wisconsin to lose. Every bracket, I go right to that. Wisconsin a 5 seed, that 5-12 upset could get them. Marquette, that Murray State matchup, I think even if you're not, you know, from either of those fan bases, that's going to be an intriguing game on Thursday afternoon. Realistically, I mean, is Sweet 16, if everything goes right, about the farthest that either of those two teams, Marquette or Wisconsin, could go? Or is that even thinking too highly of these teams right now, the way that they've kind of finished the seasons?
Yeah, I don't have either of them in the Sweet 16 right now. You know, I think with Wisconsin, defense travels. I mean, they played really good defense all season long. You look at the numbers right now, they're a top 5 defense efficiency-wise in the country. Not a lot of people are going to understand how to guard Ethan Happ down low and what he can do. If you're not familiar with him, I mean, you go through the Big Ten grind, the guy's been in a billion Big Ten games. Like, these coaches know how to deal with him. They have a plan, devised a plan over time on how to guard a guy like Ethan Happ. If you're a player on Oregon who's never seen anybody like him before, that's going to be an interesting thing. But Oregon's top 20 defense too, so I expect that one to kind of be a bit of a grind. I just don't know that, you know, if you see a Kansas State in the second round, man, Kansas State's a real tough team. I mean, that's an old veteran team that really gets after you, probably another grind. So I think, you know, Wisconsin has a chance for a Sweet 16 run, but they're going to really have to grind it out. And I, you know, the Marquette-Murray State matchup, like, who guards John Morant on Marquette? I mean, if Sam Hauser's your best one-on-one defender, he's still going to be, you know, it's a 6'8 guy going against, you know, a 6'3, 6'4, 6'5 burner in John Morant. You put Sakaar Anem on him, even though that is a better size matchup, but he's not the defender that a Sam Hauser is. You probably can't stick Marcus Howard on him because he's just not big enough and not a high-quality enough defender. So I just don't know where they match up there. Maybe they send a bunch of different people at him, give him a bunch of different looks. But to me, you know, Marcus Howard's health and Ja Morant's general unguardability, you know, that has me worried about Marquette in the first round, let alone the Sweet 16.
It sounds like they're going to put Annam on it. They put Hauser on him, I think. Some of those highlight dunks that you see Morant having against Ohio Valley Conference, that might happen all day.
Yeah, I think you've just got to ask Sakar Annam to be, have his best defensive game of all time. Yeah. I mean, I think that's probably the only way to go there.
He's not bad. He's not a bad defender. He's not bad. I mean, he's not going to make you, you know, forget about Mike Kelly at Wisconsin in his days as a two-time Big Ten Defender of the Year, but, you know, he's not bad at the on the perimeter. With Marquette, though, with Howard, I could either see them busting out early like you have, or if they get on a run, because there was a time, seems like it was a long time ago, when Marquette was actually a pretty good team.
Yeah, I kind of view Marquette sort of along the same way as I view an Iowa State, and then different teams. I mean, they've had their struggles for very different reasons along the way, but just sort of the many offensive options that both those teams have, and it's not quite sink or swim, but it's kind of like that. Like, if they're on, Marquette's on offensively, if Marcus Howard's on offensively, if they're clicking on all cylinders, they're hard to beat, no matter who's in front of them. I mean, they really can give just about anybody in the country a problem when they're on. Same thing with Iowa State. I mean, this is a team that's sort of built in the modern way with a bunch of interchangeable guys, a ton of scoring options. When they're on, as we saw this weekend in the Big 12 tournament, they can beat anybody. They can be a Sweet 16, Elite Eight, even Final Four caliber team. So that's the big if, though. Which of these teams shows up? Which Marquette shows up? You know, I mean, you need to be a doctor. You need to have the medical report of Marcus Howard. I mean, this is a guy who made one shot the other night. Marcus Howard just doesn't make one shot in a game all that often. And he's got to be healthy. If he's on, the ceiling's pretty high. Like, there's a run to be had there, just like it is for Iowa State. But, man, it's sort of like a, high risk, high reward, or sink or swim scenario. You got to be on, and then you can make a run. But if you're off, it could be a pretty short stay.
Talking some NCAA tournament, Brian Hamilton joining us here. Chuck and Winkler on the Fan this year. Pretty unique in that three of the four number one seeds all come from one conference, and Duke, Virginia, and North Carolina. Gonzaga, the other one. It seems like it's Duke's to lose with Zion coming back, especially. How would you rank the top 4-1 seeds? How would you rank those teams in terms of most likely to actually get it done in the Twin Cities?
Yeah, I would probably put Duke and Gonzaga. I know they would meet in the national semifinals if seeds hold all the way, but to me, those are probably the two. Duke, Gonzaga, Carolina, Virginia, probably in that order. I've loved Virginia's offense when it sort of has more options, not only guys who can score, but ways they can score, places they can score from. I'm not sure that that's been that way all the time in Tony Bennett's tenure, and that's sort of a way to backstop yourself against the defense failing, like last year when UMBC started chewing up Virginia in that epic upset. I mean, they just didn't have anyone on offense to turn to. DeAndre Hunter wasn't there. They didn't have anywhere to go to get the points to kind of get going. Not so the case this year. Still, look, I mean, Duke has two of the best finishers in college basketball, and that's why even though they can't shoot threes, it kind of doesn't matter because Zion Williamson and R.J. Barrett finished through traffic better than I've seen anybody do in a long, long time. So no, even if you're letting them shoot, even if you're giving them the three, they take the two anyway. So that's why I would, Michigan State's a tough matchup for them. Michigan State defends inside the arc extremely well, one of the best in country there. So that's a tough matchup for Duke, but they've been able to get those buckets. And I think Gonzaga's built like a championship team. Again, NBA players, veteran senior guard in Josh Perkins. I really like Gonzaga's chances to get to Minneapolis and maybe get Mark Few a title.
Which one of these mid-major coaches, and we'll call it the Shaka Smart Award, who's going to be most coveted, and I'm not going to say he's going to fall on his face like Smart did, but which one of these guys is going to get just coveted big time, you think, when all the the Division I jobs are open up here in the next couple of weeks? Could it be Nate Oates at Buffalo?
Yeah, I think that's I wrote about Nate Oates earlier this year for The Athletic. Went out to Buffalo and caught up with him. Obviously, Wisconsin guy. I think he's going to be at the top a lot of people's lists. I think he can afford to be a little picky, but I also think that if the right opportunity comes, he'll jump because he does have a senior-laden team. Now, they've got, you know, I've watched them practice. They have a couple transfers sitting out who are going to be really, really good players in the MAC. So Buffalo is going to get a chance to kind of maintain this over time. But I'd put Nate Oates at the top of that list. I think, you know, UNC Greensboro isn't in the tournament, but they were sort of the last team out. Wes Miller down there is probably going to get some looks sooner than later as a guy who can move on. And then Craig Smith to Utah State. I mean, just doing a great job out there. That team could – Utah State can make a run. Utah State can beat Washington, and it can really give North Carolina some problems in the second round. So I would put Nate Oates to the top of the list. I mean, you look at the 30-plus wins Buffalo has this year, the job he's done, I think he's ready for the leap to a big job.
What about T.J. Otzelberger, who's from Milwaukee, went to high school here at Thomas More? His team busted out in the conference tournament against Western Illinois when they won the regular season summit. Did that cost him at all, and would he be thought of as a possible place to move on?
And it's sad because so much of it is, you know, you have these performances on the NCAA tournament stage, and obviously you've done a good job as a mid-major coach to get your team to the NCAA tournament, but a lot of ADs just, you know, see you perform on this stage and suddenly you become the hot name to hire. And as you guys know, that doesn't always work out all that well. I mean, we saw John Gross did that at Ohio, kind of became the hot name to hire, goes to Illinois, didn't exactly work out all that well.
Bruce Pearl here, he went to Tennessee and he didn't exactly light it up there.
Absolutely. So there is something to be said, and it's sad because you really should just, you know, all these ADs, all these search firms should be doing their homework on, are you a really good coach? But I think some people look at, okay, well, you've coached your team to the NCAA tournament. That's a check mark to sell to your fan base, right? Like, he coached this team to the NCAA tournament. Everybody saw him on the sidelines during the NCAA tournament. Maybe there is that upset. There's something to be said for that. So, yeah, a guy like TJ is going to suffer a little bit, maybe not deservedly, just because he's not in that spotlight this March. But, you know, I think he'll move on at some point. He is actually a good coach, and he will find his way to a bigger job sooner or later.
Outside of Oregon beating Wisconsin by at least 10 points, give me one upset to take if I'm taking one of them.
Whew, boy, I'm checking my bracket right now. You know, I kind of went with a Belmont-Yale second-round matchup. I thought Belmont gets through Temple tonight in the first four, and I think that, you know, Rick Byrd's guys maybe surprise a very young Maryland team, super talented Maryland team, but I just wonder if the NCAA tournament and a really solid Belmont squad with a great, great coach kind of just catches them a little by surprise. They didn't look great in the Big Ten tournament at all up front. Bruno Fernando got really, really frustrated really, really easily against Nebraska. So, you know, I'm going to go with maybe Yale surprising LSU and Belmont winning tonight and surprising Maryland. And that, I think that's my big upset second round matchup, a little Belmont Yale action out there in Jacksonville.
Mine is Oregon, so you can use that one if you'd like, Brian. That's what we're going here.
We'll see.
Brian, thank you so much. We will be in touch. Good stuff.
Thanks, Brian.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.